The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 156. How are you doing out there, listeners? How you doing? I'm doing well. It's a very busy week for yours truly, and we'll talk about that here in a few moments, but I'd like to discuss who my guest is for this episode of this beloved podcast. Stephen Hine stops by once again. This is his 4th appearance on the PVD cast, and it's always a blast to have Stephen on. We, just about a month or so ago, hung out at Space as we were both there. And Stephen's a great guy. He's a very creative individual, and he's on here to talk about his new project called Soccer Mom Killer. And it's a very unusual tale, and we're going to talk all about it in our conversation. The Kickstarter is beginning June 15th. So Stephen wanted to come on and talk a little bit about it. And don't worry, we talk about his other projects as well, such as his punk rock EP that he has out, Valedictorian USA, Zombie Fabulous, and many other projects that he is working on or, you know, have completed and are available through his website, stephenhines.org. Stephen and I are going to talk a little bit about that, but let's talk about what I just mentioned, you know, at the beginning of this introduction, that it's a very, very busy week. It is Wizard World Columbus week, and I cannot tell you just how excited I am for this week, because there are some opportunities for yours truly and for this podcast to do some amazing stuff this upcoming weekend. And let me just run down a little bit of what's already written in stone, and there's a lot going on, so this schedule might change a little bit. Thursday night, I'm going to go to VGMX and be part of the pre-Wizard World podcast with the Three Geeks podcast. Jason and Max are going to have a little pre-show podcast. And I know that we are on Saturday going to battle those two individuals in Remake Revolution live at Wizard World. 12:30, I believe, is the time. Room A222. It's going to be certainly a very fun Remake Revolution. We already know the movie we're remaking, and it's got endless possibilities to have just some really great ideas thrown out there. Later on in the day, I believe it's 2:30, maybe it's 2 o'clock. I'll double check that and tweet it out, but I'm also going to be part of the Three Geeks podcast panel, and I appreciate the offer from Jason and Max to come back on that Saturday afternoon and talk a little bit about comics and podcasting. And of course, I'm going to be at the Staunch Ambition table, helping out Brian Lau, pushing out the book. I'm looking forward to seeing some old friends, Victor Dandridge, Dirk Manning, and all the folks that are going to be down there. I'm really looking forward to hanging out and just having a good time and helping Brian and just doing some really awesome stuff. Very excited. I got a lot of work to do. As I mentioned in the last mini episode, I got a new PC and I'm trying to transfer over files and making sure everything works, because I got to be honest, the old Pro Book is acting funkier and funkier every day, and I think I'm on borrowed time, so I want to make sure that the new PC is set to go. But enough about me and what's going on with yours truly. That was last mini episode. I want to talk about Stephen Hines and his new project, Soccer Mom Killer. So let's go ahead and tell you who brought you this podcast, so then we can get to a quick break and then into the conversation with Stephen. And of course, as you know, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVD cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. Now, you've probably seen their advertisements on TV. It's summertime. Why not take a book with you when you go for a jog, when you go to walk the dog, when you're hanging out at the beach, or whatever you're doing outside? You need an audiobook to listen to occupy your mind, to give you some knowledge. And as I mentioned, Audible has literally almost 200,000 titles to choose from. So no matter if you're talking about podcasting, comic books, computers, no matter what the topic, I guarantee you that Audible has a book for you. So to download your free audiobook today, just go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. So let's get to my conversation with Stephen Hines as we're talking about his new project, Soccer Mom Killer. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the PVD cast again for the fourth time, by the way, Mr. Stephen Hines. Stephen, how are you doing this evening?
I am awesome, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you know it was your fourth time or no?
No, I didn't actually.
I looked it up.
You're for punishment.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion. I think I am in for a fantastic chat.
Well, I hope I don't let you down.
Let's talk real quick, if you don't mind. We just saw each other about a month ago at Space. So how was your experience at Space this year?
Oh, it was fantastic. I had the best sales at any Comic-Con in the 9 years I've been doing this racket. So, and met so many cool people. Got to hang out with this crazy guy named John Orlando for a while. That was a blast.
Yeah, man. I'm really shocked when you told me at the end of Space that this was the best year you've had in 9 years. I mean, that's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. That's fantastic. But I, you know, was kind of a little bit shocked by that. That's excellent. Excellent. Everybody enjoyed what you had there, what you were selling there. Did you get a lot of good feedback from the fans?
I've only had a few of them say something afterwards, and that's pretty common. A lot of people bought my punk metal EP that I was selling. And what's weird is I thought people would be all over the digital downloads in this day and age because I released that first. And there were just a few sales on that, and I was like, screw it. For me, it doesn't feel real until it's on a CD with cover art and lyrics and all that stuff. So I had some printed up through CreateSpace, and I freaking sold out of that CD at Space. And luckily, it was at the tail end of the convention, because I'd have been bummed if I sold out and other people wanted it. But that was, along with my Zombie Fabulous comic books, those two were my best sellers. And my series Valedictorian USA sold really well too, which was awesome, because I usually have a hard time for some reason pitching that one to people, and I'm super proud of it, and it's got me super stoked that more people are getting into it finally.
Okay, cool. And you know what, we will talk about those other projects here in a little bit. Especially I want to recap those for anybody that's new listening to the PVD cast. But let's talk about your new project that you're getting ready to launch a Kickstarter for. And the title is The Soccer Mom Killer.
Yes, sir. It's going to be clean family fun.
So, can you give a short synopsis of what this book is going to be all about?
It is about a serial killer from a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, who specializes in soccer moms who drive minivans.
Okay.
And he goes on a killing spree, and two cops from this Columbus suburb are given the task of trying to stop him before he completes his mission.
Okay. All right. Is his mission to kill a certain amount of soccer moms, if I may ask?
Yeah. Yes, he has a very specific list okay. of ladies that he is going to take down one by one, and he's also doing something at the same time that I can't go into because I don't want to ruin the climax of the story, but it's pretty sick and demented stuff. I'm sure some people will really worry about my psyche after reading it.
Well, you know what? Can I ask, what was the inspiration for this tale?
It actually started with, I used to ride a mountain bike a lot for exercise. And I tried riding on the streets of the town where I live. I live north of Dayton. And you're not supposed to ride on a sidewalk, of course. So I thought I'd be a good citizen and ride along the curb. And after several drivers literally came within millimeters of my left pedal and scared the shit out of me, I decided I would find a bike path to ride on. And so I started riding on this bike path out at the biggest park in our town. And it winds around all these soccer fields and baseball fields. And, you know, it's meant for bicyclists and walkers, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'd get in the groove and I'd be jamming out to some music or listening to a podcast on my earbuds and just, you know, going at it, you know, trying to sweat off some of my beer calories. And one time I was just, you know, in the groove and just cruising, and out of nowhere, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this. There was a soccer game going on. I saw the soccer mom with her lawn chair just decide to walk right in front of me at the last second. And it about got me into a wreck to where I could have, you know, seriously injured myself on this, you know, this paved bike path. And I was furious. And I believe I called her a few things and out loud, not just in my head. And when I was riding home from the bike park, I was thinking, man, fucking soccer moms really pissed me off. And I was like, what if there was a serial killer that would target them? And so it really started out of like just petty anger. I jotted the idea down. And when I finally got around to starting to write it, I didn't know what it was going to turn into. And it turned into something way deeper than just, you know, I'm going to get back at those uppity bitches.
Yeah. Okay.
Something a lot deeper than that. I'm pretty proud of it.
I was going to ask, because, you know, when you told me a little bit about the idea for the project back at Space, I was curious, do you watch a lot of like crime shows? Was that a factor into going that avenue, or it was just the petty anger of this woman and her lack of decency and etiquette, if you will?
The woman's lack of bike path etiquette was just like the seed.
Okay. All right.
Other than that, yeah, my wife and I watch a lot of like NCIS and things like that. And I've always been fascinated with serial killers and wondering what makes them tick, and, you know, how do they get to the point where, you know, are they born that way, or is it something that happened to them that triggers them, or, you know, is a combination of both? And I really, when I started writing the script, I had no idea what this guy's motivation was. I just started writing what I saw in my head, which probably should worry me. And, you know, like they say, writing is a socially acceptable form of schizophrenia. And that's basically how I write. I just started writing what I saw in my head, and there were some things happening, and I was scared to type because I was going, oh my God, this is like something from a David Lynch movie. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to resolve itself. And but I just said, you know, suck it up, buttercup, and just write what you see and let the chips fall where they may. And for some strange reason, my subconscious worked it out.
So did you do any research as to the motives of serial killers?
Yeah, I did. Because I started to write, I would write what I saw in my head, and then I would hop on the internet because I'd get paranoid and say, you know, what if I'm completely off base and somebody reads this?
Right, yeah.
You don't know your ass from your elbow, buddy. You should probably actually read up on some stuff. And I started looking up, you know, how they typically operate, you know, and if they have a set number of victims and a mission and how they typically end their mission and stuff like that. And everything that I was writing was proven true with my research. It was kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. That's happened to me with other stuff I've written too. And I guess it probably just absorbed it somewhere down the line and something that I saw or read or, you know, or both.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My brain was just kind of worked it into its own little, you know, puzzle and then spewed it back out. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can hazard a guess at.
Now, are you planning on not only just writing, but also doing the art for the book?
I am definitely not doing the art.
Well, who have you teamed up with? Let's give a little love to the artistic crew, if you will, for this book.
I put an ad out on digitalwebbing.com, which if anyone listening, if you're an author, an artist, that's a fantastic website to put a classified ad on an internet bulletin board and hook up with someone to complete your creative team. That's how I found the both artists for Valedictorian USA, by the way.
Okay.
I had a ton of people who responded from all over the globe. And there were people who I could not afford because they wanted like $300 a page. And I'm like, you do realize I'm a bottom feeder? And I wish I could pay you that. And then there were a lot of people who I could afford, but you know, their art just wasn't what I had in mind. Mm-hmm. And I narrowed it down to two people. One was a dude from the United States, and one was a lady, I think she's from Poland. She hasn't sent me her bio yet. And her name is Nila Boczenska. And I had both of them, I narrowed it down to those two, and I paid both of them to draw one page of my script to see how well their art worked with my writing. And first guy got back to me, really quickly, and his art was really good, and I was like, you know, this could be the guy, but something kept nagging at me to wait. And then Nayla sent her page to me, and I opened it on my phone and jerked back from my phone and gasped, and I was just like, oh my god. I mean, the other guy was great, but his style was pretty typical, you know. Yeah. it's something you'd see in a lot of different comics, and nothing against him, because I would definitely work with him on something else. But her art is just so detailed and is so different. And I showed it to my wife, and my wife's an artist. She mostly does paintings. And she jerked back from my phone and gasped. And I was like, this is the one. And immediately started working out details. And we signed a contract last week, and she is hard at work on the first issue.
Oh, excellent, man. Excellent. And you know what? That's the amazing thing when I talk to creators, especially in 2018, that you don't have to be any ways near any of your creative team. I mean, it can be, as in the case of you, clear across the globe. But thanks to technology, man, I mean, the world gets smaller and smaller, and that's great for creators.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the internet just isn't for people fighting with each other over politics.
Right, right. Or looking up pornography.
Well, I mean, that and cat videos, but
cat videos.
But
so we've narrowed it down that the internet's good for only three things, ladies and gentlemen:
comics, porn,
comics, porn, politics, and cat videos. That's it.
I'm not so sure how good it is for politics, but I did learn today, John. I know since I'm a teacher, I learned that there's a politician who said that pornography is the cause of school shootings. So I'm really relieved that that has been resolved and I'm safe from now on at work.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, pornography is the reason for school shootings, huh?
I'm eager to read it more up on this and follow her breadcrumbs to see how she connected those dots, but
okay. I mean, hey, you know, it's I guess it's a possible theory, one that probably is not accurate, but okay, all right. You know, if that's your thoughts, okay.
My guess, if teenagers who have, you know, assault rifles would be busy at home doing certain things while looking at porn, they probably wouldn't have time to shoot up school.
Are you glad that the internet wasn't around when you were a kid? Because sometimes I am. I am absolutely so happy that the internet was not around when I was a kid.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I would have done so many stupid things on social media, and I would have carpal tunnel a lot sooner.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that 8-year-old John would have gotten himself in a shit ton of trouble with the internet.
Oh, God, when I was an overly dramatic teenager, the stupid shit I would have posted for status updates. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, anyways, we got off track there. Let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter, the Soccer Mom Killer. Give us the details on when that's launching and all of the different things connected to the Kickstarter.
Awesome. Well, it is launching on June 15th. And I'm working on I have a former student who's working on some stuff for me. I gave her the script. She's the one who did the zombie fingers for Zombie Fabulous and the zombie brain rosaries.
Okay, okay.
As well as our drag queen and zombie makeup. She's a genius. At Mal Macabre on Instagram, if you want to check her out, everybody. He pitched some ideas to me for some Kickstarter incentives, and we settled on some pretty demented wine glass charms. Because your typical soccer mom's really into the wine, particularly boxed wine, I'm assuming. And that they like to have charms around their glasses when they're entertaining company, so they can identify which glass is their glass. And she's cooking up some pretty sick and twisted ideas for custom wine glass charms. And we're going to offer stickers. You know how soccer moms all have the soccer ball sticker on the backs of their minivans with either their child's number or their name or both or something like that. And we're getting one of those with soccer mom initials with bloody dripping letters on them. I designed those. It turned out pretty cool. And I'm going to do some art for the incentives because I am good at drawing faces for some reason. And I came up with the idea of offering people the chance to have me draw their criminal mugshot and have them holding up the little sign that they have you hold up after you've been arrested, and kicking around the idea of maybe giving them a chance to pick the crime for which they're being accused.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and at the higher levels, we're going to be offering a chance for them to have a cameo in issue 2 in the background, an extra. And if they pledge at the highest level, they can get a cameo in issue 2 as well as being a face on the cover of the graphic novel that will eventually collect the trilogy.
Cool. Excellent. So you got some very interesting Kickstarter incentives. And probably the easiest way to find this when it launches on June 15th is just to go to Kickstarter.com and just search for The Soccer Mom Killer.
Yep, that would do it.
All right. All right. Well, let's go back and talk about some of your other projects. I know we just briefly mentioned them, and this is probably for those folks that are just now listening to the PVD cast for the first time, especially as I just mentioned there last week, that I'm on a new platform there, Podcast-A-Go-Go. So if those folks are listening and they haven't been introduced to you in one of your other appearances, let's talk a little bit about some of your other projects. You mentioned, of course, Valedictorian USA, which you're very proud of. Can you give a quick little synopsis for the listeners at home?
Absolutely. It's a series that is a satire of reality television with 9 high school kids competing on a reality TV show to become the valedictorian of the whole country. And they have to go through all these crazy challenges, and the student who wins not only becomes the valedictorian of the whole country, but he or she gets a book deal and all kinds of money and endorsements and stuff like that. And it's a hilarious spoof of reality TV, but it's going to have a very dark ending to it because I wanted to emphasize the exploitative nature of reality TV. And it's also kind of an extended metaphor for standardized testing, which if you're in education, you would feel the pain of someone who has to deal with that.
Okay, okay. You also mentioned Zombie Fabulous, which you said was a fantastic seller at Space this year. So let's inform the folks, what is Zombie Fabulous?
Zombie Fabulous is a trilogy about drag queens who die and come back as zombies, and they're torn between their hunger for human flesh and their desire to remain fabulous while decaying and falling apart.
I love how you describe it. It's just so amusing, ladies and gents. I'm telling you, it really is. It is fantastic. You know what? You talked a little bit about your EP. So let's go back real quick and just chat a little bit about why did you decide to do an EP?
Well,
because I know you're a musician, and maybe I should have set that up a little bit better. You are a musician. What made you think, hey, I'm going to do this little EP here?
It's been a while. I used to put out CDs and just give them to friends and stuff of mostly instrumentals because I'm not a good singer. And I would do instrumentals and use like sound bites from movies and my favorite authors and stuff like that as vocals in them. And then our current president got elected. And I was thinking this in my head, and I saw one of my friends say on the internet, well, at least, you know, when there's a psycho from that side of the political spectrum in the Oval Office, one thing we can actually look forward to is a lot of great punk. And I remember back to when Reagan was president and all the great hardcore punk and stuff that was going on back then. And I was like, you know, I'm super pissed off, and I mostly only write songs when I'm super pissed off. So I'm going to write some punk songs. And I was like, well, I definitely can't sing. And then I started coming up with some songs that I really liked. And I just put a status update out on Facebook and said, look, I have these songs and I need people to sing on them. I can't offer you anything to pay you, but is there anyone out there who'd be willing to sing on my songs? And I thought I would be greeted by the sound of crickets. And I had so many people who responded, I couldn't use everybody. And it turned out great. You know, the songs are a mixture of punk and heavy metal, and you know, influences like Black Flag was my all-time favorite punk band, and Fugazi, and Circle Jerks, and bands like that, and some of the metal influences I think that came out. I just wrote, you know, and went for it, and then after I listened to it later, I could hear kind of some of the influences and bands like System of a Down and Black Sabbath and the Wild Hearts, which is my all-time favorite band. You know, can't help but show your influences, but I think it sounds like me. And some of the singers I got to sing in this are just freaking amazing.
How many songs are on the EP, if I may ask?
Six songs.
Six songs. All right. And you said you had them available digital download, but at Space, The actual physical CD was the hot seller.
Yep, they're up on Bandcamp.com. I use the band name S**HINES, Shines, just an abbreviation of my name. And you can purchase them or stream them for free to check them out, see if you like them first. And the CD is for sale through my Etsy store and my website. But the physical CD, I've just been completely blown away that has just sold great for me, and it makes me happy because I'm an old fart. And like I said, I like to have a tangible product in my hands.
Well, one of the things, though, I think that you will be maybe a little bit taken back by, and you know, I just purchased a new laptop. No CD, CD-ROM / DVD drive in it.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I like, I'm a Mac person.
Ah, okay.
Because they work so much better with multimedia than Windows computers. I mean, if you're a gamer, you're going to be a Windows person all the way, which I'm not a gamer. But with MacBook, you get the option of going without or buying one with a CD drive, at least last time I bought one, which has been about 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I always go with the option of having one, even though my wife and I did buy an external CD drive for that. For her laptop, because she's a Windows person and none of hers come with one.
Yeah, well, this is the first computer I've had ever that did not have one. And when at first I was like, wait a minute. But, you know, I imagine that nowadays, you know, with cloud-based, you know, servers and with USB drives and, you know, the little stick drives, if you will, or, you know, portable hard drives, I guess that is going to become the way of the dinosaur, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be as hung up on it when I have to replace this laptop because, like you said, there's so much that's cloud-based and I don't have to. I buy most of my music through the evil giant that is Amazon. Mm-hmm. If you buy it through Amazon, you have it immediately through the Amazon app on your phone, so you don't have to screw around with ripping it and putting it on your laptop and then transferring it to your phone to listen to while you work out or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't think I'll be as hung up on that anymore because, yeah, you're right. It's kind of become an obsolete technology.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's also talk about one final thing, too, Rebirth Defect, which is a memoir that you wrote about your journey through organized religion, shall we say. So talk to us a little bit, especially the listeners. Why did you decide to write your memoir?
Well, some of the religions, the churches I went to were organized. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Some of them were pretty crazy and chaotic. None of them handled snakes, though. But
okay.
That would have been a cool addition to my book. But I had no intention whatsoever of you know ever touching that topic until I kept having these people who would they find out that I you know was in a really serious heavy metal band that almost got signed to a record deal. And then I'd, you know, laughingly say, yeah, it was a Christian heavy metal band. I bet you never thought that I would have done that. And, you know, they see me with all my tattoos and stuff. And they're like, no way. Like, tell me more about this. And I'd just say, well, you know, I went through a bunch of different spiritual explorations and through the realm of Christianity. And eventually I came back to being what I was when I was a teenager, which was an atheist. And they kept demanding for all the details. I'm like, I want to know how you went through all those changes. And I kept, first I was just blowing them off saying, I'll write a book about it someday just to get them to leave me alone. And then after enough people asked me about it, I was like, you know, maybe people would actually do want to know this story. Maybe it is a story worth telling just for the purposes of sharing my journey. You know, my goal wasn't to try to deconvert anyone who is a believer. My goal was just to, you know, share my crazy journey and say, you know, if you are like me and you do not believe in a God, that you're not a bad person. You're not a freak and you don't deserve to be treated like one. You know, if you're a good person, you're a good person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit, because you mentioned you have some favorite writers and you've mentioned influences musically, but who are some of the influences that you have in terms of when you sit down to write?
He doesn't work in comics, but I would definitely say the director and screenwriter David Lynch is one of my biggest heroes, mainly because he's so fearless and he just comes from out of left field and he just, if he sees something, he will interrupt everything, you know, and pay everybody on the set overtime just so he can capture what he just saw in his head and damn the torpedoes, but he figures out a way to let his subconscious do the work for him. And in comics, my heroes are definitely Alan Moore, you know, can't get any better than The Watchmen, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And Neil Gaiman, Sandman. Is freaking amazing, and his novels have gotten amazing as well. And Garth Ennis, I'd say, would probably be up there as well, because he writes some really dark and twisted stuff, but he has this amazing sense of humor. And to me, those are my two favorite elements to a great story. I like dark and twisted stuff, and I love to laugh.
All right, there you go. And all of those are very solid influences, especially Garth Ennis, because I'm a big Garth Ennis fan. So, all right, as we're starting to wrap things up here, I'm going to ask you a really big question here. If you were stranded on an island, name three people you would want to have with you.
Oh, do I have to pick three?
Yeah, you got to pick three.
Well, definitely my wife. She's my best friend, okay. And she's pretty much the only person who has always had my back since I met her, since we got to know each other. Gosh, that's tough. Maybe our two friends who are also husband and wife, Joe and Kelly, because they're both hilarious people and sick and twisted as well. And yeah, that's three.
Well, I was going to count the husband and wife as like a one unit, if you will. But okay, you know.
There's a reason why I teach English.
All right. Well, okay, let's talk about maybe some upcoming appearances. Do you got anything on the calendar?
I did have a show on July 1st, but I just found out today that the con got canceled, and I'm super bummed. It was... I'm looking up my phone calendar. It was a River City Con in Marietta, Ohio. I did that show a couple of years ago, and it was really good until the air conditioning died in the venue, and it was like a million degrees in there. So I'm looking forward to giving that another shot. Other than that, I have an event I never tried before in August 18th, the Grand Lake Fan Expo.
And where's that at?
The Mercer County Library.
Okay. All right.
Other than that, I don't have anything until, in September 8th, I have Yo Ice in Youngstown, Ohio, which is put on by the amazing Carlos Rivera, who is one of the coolest and funniest human beings I've ever met. In October, I have the Parkersburg PopCon at West Virginia University, which is, I did that show for the first time last year, and it was so cool. I wanted to move to West Virginia. It was so cool. I mean, those people are hungry for comics down there, and they were so nice.
Well, excellent, excellent, excellent. So you'll be out and about. Where can folks keep tabs on your comings and goings?
My official website is stephenhines.org. And you can find me on Facebook, and my Instagram and Twitter handle would be StephenHines67. And no, that's not my IQ. That is a reference to one of my favorite songs by one of my favorite bands, King's X.
Okay, there you go, ladies and gents. There you go. Anything else you want to talk about real quick here, Stephen, before we run out of time?
I just want to say, if anyone out there has read my young adult novel this summer, one of my projects is going to be to record an audiobook version of that to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of its publication, which I hope to have released by its 10th anniversary in December.
Oh, cool, cool. What other projects you got coming up?
Other than the Soccer Mom...
Yes, other than that one, yeah.
I am working on a movie script called... Small Press, which is going to be kind of a Kevin Smith indie comedy about what it feels like to be an indie author going to all these conventions and all the weird and crazy people and things that you run into.
All right. That sounds like fun, man. That's right up my alley.
It's hilarious so far. I mean, every time I get a chance to write it and go back and revise the scenes that I wrote, I'm cracking up laughing. I know I'm easily amused, but I'm hoping it cracks other people up too.
Well, there you go, ladies and gents. So, Stephen, thanks for coming on, man. It was a pleasure to have you on again.
Hey, thanks for having me, as always, man. I love being on the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, folks. My conversation with Stephen Hines talking about his new project, Soccer Mom Killer. The Kickstarter, of course, drops on June 15th. All you got to do is just go over to Kickstarter.com and search Soccer Mom Killer. It'll pop up and pledge a little bit of cash to Stephen so you can get this great book out, ladies and gentlemen. With that being said, I need to start wrapping up this episode. So let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. By all means, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp, and you can leave me a message on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That being, of course, facebook.com/pvdcast. And as I mentioned, keep an eye out on the Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, on my Twitter account, because I'm going to be throwing out different pieces of information regarding Wizard World this upcoming weekend. But let's get on to where you can get this wonderful podcast. There's a variety of different places. First of all, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly. That's probably the best bet for getting your hands on every single episode of this podcast. But it's also available through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network, and of course, the newest avenue where you can get your hands on the PVDcast, the Podcast-A-Go-Go Network. Very happy to be part of that network. So there you go, 8 different ways to get your hands on this podcast. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up. I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.